our Joba Berlin, this is Spielpod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from the shores of the River Spray. Today is Thursday, the 12th of June, 2014. On this date in 1550, the city of Helsinki is founded. In 1665, England installs a municipal government in the Dutch settlement of New Amsterdam, making it New York City, for a long time North America's premier pirate haven. In 1860, the State Bank of the Russian Empire is established. 1898, the Philippines declares its independence from Spain. By the way, if you have not read Mark Twain's writings on the Philippines, it's some of the best writing about American colonialism ever. 1942, Anne Frank receives a diary for her 13th birthday. 1944, John F. Kennedy, who many don't know, was a true war hero. He receives the Navy's highest honor as well as a Purple Heart for his acts of bravery on PT-109 on this date. 1963, civil rights leader Medgar Evers is assassinated by a Klansman who's acquitted by two all-white juries. 1964, anti-apartheid activist and ANC leader Nelson Mandela is sentenced to life in prison for sabotage in South Africa. 1967, the United States Supreme Court in the Loving versus Virginia case declares that all U.S. state laws which prohibit interracial marriage are unconstitutional, now celebrated as Loving Day. 1972, the first Popeye's fried chicken is founded in Araby, Louisiana. 1975, Indira Gandhi is convicted of election fraud but refuses to step down. In 1987, at the Brandenburg Gate, U.S. President Ronald Reagan publicly challenges Mikhail Gorbachev to tear down the Berlin Wall. 1990, the Parliament of the Russian Federation formally declares its sovereignty. 1991, Boris Yeltsin's elected president. 2009, 5 years ago today, the disputed presidential election in Iran leads to wide-ranging protests. Birthdays today are Cosimo I de' Medici, Grand Duke of Tuscany, Basil Rathbone, George Bush Sr., Malcolm McDowell, Christo, and Ban Ki-moon. Today is the 100th birthday of Wu Qingyan, known in the West by his Japanese name as Go Seigen, the greatest Go player of the 20th or the 21st century, reaching the stratospheric ninth dan rank of play. If you'd like to comment on the blog or ask a question, go to tabealpod.com or send us an email at tabealpod@gmail.com. Check out tabealpod.com's database, which has resources for non-natives living in Tbilisi. We keep it up to date, but if there's anything you want in there, let us know. Even the most seasoned veterans will learn a few new things. Check it out at tabealpod.com/database. On the 9th of June, UNM member Gigi Ugulaba and Giga Bokeri were yelled at and pelted with eggs while on an election campaign visit to the town of Tsagheri in Ratchalechkhumi. UNM claims that the Georgian Dream organized the attack and that local Georgian Dream leaders were among the assailants, including several Dream candidates running for local councils. A patrol unit nearby did not prevent the confrontation or address it. On the 7th of June, Bokeri and Ugulaba were also attacked, along with UNM Member of Parliament Gheorghe Baramidze, while meeting with voters in Batumi, by former prisoners released under the status of political prisoners. According to the reports, two men disrupted the meeting, saying that UNM had no moral right to run in the elections, after which a brawl ensued. Bokeri later said that the men must have been sent by the government, and in Zugdidi, on the 6th of June, Dream activists tried to storm the local UNM office and assaulted a UNM single-seat candidate, Salome Makatsaria. UNM called on the government to stop pressuring its candidates and engage in equal political competition and puts full responsibility for the incidents on the government and on Prime Minister Garibashvili personally. The U.S. Embassy in Tbilisi released a statement on the 8th of June expressing concerns about campaign-related reports, including allegations of government pressure on opposition candidates to withdraw their candidacy in the weeks before the 15th of June election. NDI released a pre-election report on the 10th of June saying that campaign-related intimidation and violence remain a problem and the government leaders should strongly express their intolerance towards violence. According to the report, up to 400 candidates withdrew from the race for various reasons. An alleged 30 candidates withdrew because of police pressure, although NDI was not able to confirm the specifics of these cases. The report also says that the ongoing animosity between the ruling Georgian Dream and opposition UNM, quote, continues to undermine the otherwise democratic nature, end quote, of the electoral process. The EU's special advisor for legal reforms and human rights in Georgia, Thomas Hammerberg, called on the authorities to launch a national campaign against violence, saying also that there have been hate crimes committed against people connected to politics and in connection with the elections. He continued to say that in discussions with leading politicians, importantly, he felt they did not consider the issue of violence sufficiently seriously. He's important, and they listened to him since he sort of came on Bidzina's invitation. Following the U.S. Embassy's statement, the Georgian government pledged that the local elections will be held under the highest standards, that they are against violence, and that any violence will be appropriately investigated and punished. While addressing voters in Batumi on the 9th of June, Prime Minister Khadabashvili said that the upcoming local elections must drive the United National Movement out of government in every city, every region, and every village once and for all, end quote. Khadabashvili dedicated some time of his speech criticizing the UNM and their time in power. He suggested that the recent unpleasant violent incidents of violence against UNM members were because of lingering aggression people felt against the previous authorities. On the 10th of June, Tbilisi City Court decided to reinstate UNM's Gamgebeli candidate for Marneuli region, Ahmed Imam Kuliev, to run for the 15th of June elections. Court rulings overturned a previous decision by both District Election Commission and the CEC that Imam Kuliev was ineligible to run for the post because he failed to meet the condition of 2 years residency in Georgia. UNM claims the authorities wanted to prevent the candidate from running in the race, appealed the decision to the CEC and then to the city court. Earlier on the 15th of June, Mayor of Tbilisi, Gigi Ugulava, along with other UNM members, broke into the District Election Commissioner's office in Marneuli, swearing at the district chairman and demanding to know why the UNM candidate, Imam Kuliev, was suspended from the race. The CEC said that the UNM members' actions were unacceptable and a direct interference with the election administration's work. UNM cited a CEC decision on the 20th of May not to suspend Georgian Dream mayoral candidates registered in Rustavi and Poti who violated the same two-year residency requirement. During his 9th of June speech in Batumi, Prime Minister Khadabashvili focused on the Ugulava incident in Marneuli Election Administration office and said that law enforcement agencies will respond to the case immediately after the elections and that all wrongdoers involved will be punished very strictly. According to data released by the CEC on the 9th of June, the number of voters stands at 3,430,000. Kutaisi is the largest constituency with 154,000 voters, followed by Tbilisi, Samgori, and Goldani districts with 133,000 and 132,000 voters, respectively, and a total of 257 candidates are running for Gamgebeli seats in 59 municipalities across the country. Gamgebeli is the head of the provincial municipal district. Till now, the post was appointed by the municipality's council, the Sacrobulo, and will be elected directly by voters for the first time in these elections. On the 5th of June, the UN General Assembly passed Georgia's IDP resolution recognizing the right of return of all displaced persons to the breakaway region of Abkhazia and South Ossetia. 69 countries voted in favor, 13 voted against, and 79 abstained. Russian representatives in the UN condemned the document as politically motivated. Georgia says it proposes a resolution every year to keep the issue of IDPs high on the international agenda and also widen its circle for support year to year. The breakaway Republic of South Ossetia held parliamentary elections on the 8th of June. The party United Ossetia won a majority with 43.19% of the votes, obtaining 20 seats out of the 34-seat parliament. 9 parties competed, but only 4 made it past the 7% threshold needed to enter parliament. United Ossetia stands for the unification of South and North Ossetia as part of the Russian Federation, although strangely, most of the South Ossetian opposition is in exile in North Ossetia because they're not allowed to come to South Ossetia, so I don't know what influence that would have. A delegation of 5 Turkish MPs visited Abkhazia on the 7th of June and met with Acting President Valeri Bganda. After meeting with the Georgian Deputy Foreign Minister on the 9th of June, Turkish Ambassador to Georgia Levant Gumirchip reiterated the country's non-recognition policy vis-à-vis Abkhazia and South Ossetia and support for Georgia's territorial integrity. Meanwhile, the Chamber of Commerce of the Republic of Abkhazia and the Association of Chambers of Commerce of India signed an agreement of cooperation to enable further interaction between their business communities. As a reminder, Abkhazia recently experienced a rather dramatic change in government when protesters, led by the opposition and egged on by the Kremlin, stormed the presidential building in late May, causing Ankvab to resign. President Georgi Margvelashvili was in Kiev for the new Ukrainian president Petro Poroshenko's inauguration ceremony on the 7th of June. So was Misha. While in Kiev, U.S. Vice President Joe Biden met with Margvelashvili and pledged $5 million in financial aid to Georgia, aimed largely at helping those suffering from Russian borderization on the ABL. ABL being administrative borderline, for those not knowing all of the hip new acronyms. Following up on last week's story about a marijuana legalization rally in Tbilisi, in a new demonstration this week, activists protested the government's strict drug policy with cups of urine samples displayed in front of the Chancery building on the 9th of June. The protest was in reaction to a police raid on a private party in Tbilisi where 14 people were taken for drug tests and now face fines for testing positive for marijuana. Street art also appeared around the city, showing a cast of characters waiting in line to give urine samples to police officers. The president of the European Commission, José Manuel Barroso, is visiting Moldova, Georgia, and Azerbaijan and arrives in Tbilisi on the 12th of June. According to his office, the visit emphasizes the EU support ahead of the signing of the association agreement on the 27th of June and will focus on deepening investment and business opportunities. As reported last week, Orthodox priests and their supporters rallied outside a Didube church hosting the Evangelical Festival of Hope on the 7th of June in an effort to shame those attending the event. Among the protesters was Gheorghe Gabedava, Tbilisi mayoral candidate for the 15th of June elections. Meanwhile, over 30,000 conservatives signed a petition demanding changes to the anti-discrimination law passed by Parliament in May. They're against the law's prohibition of discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity and demanded that these phrases be removed from the law. Mikhail Anguladze, one of the members of the organization Union of Genus Leaders, I don't know what that name's all about, said, the quote, "The patriarch called us, the parish, not to accept the existence of these indecent formulations in the law," end quote. As a reminder, before the law was passed, Ilya II informed his followers that it was a sin to legalize such illegality. 140 Georgian soldiers from a Batumi-based infantry battalion will join the EU military mission in Central African Republic this week. It's the first time Georgia will contribute to the EU's operations. Georgia and the EU signed a framework agreement on Georgia's participation in EU crisis management operations in November 2013. At the same time, Mindia Janelidze, chairman of the Council for State Security and Crisis Management, announced that Georgia is gradually reducing the number of troops in Afghanistan to about 700 by the 1st of January 2015. They will serve in non-combat missions. Currently, two Georgian battalions, 700 and 750 troops each, are deployed in Afghanistan, one in Camp Leatherneck in Helmand, and the second in Kandahar province. U.S.-Georgia military training will be held outside Tbilisi at the Vaziani Training Grounds. The Agile Spirit drills are held annually since 2011 to help prepare Georgian soldiers for deployment in Afghanistan. This year, the exercises involve about 350 servicemen from the U.S. Marine Corps Black Sea Rotational Force and Georgian soldiers from the 42nd Battalion of the 4th Brigade. Georgian Deputy Defense Minister Mikhail Dardashvili said the joint drills demonstrate the strong cooperation existing between Georgia and the United States in the military sphere and are aimed at increasing Georgian armed forces capability with NATO. Seven people were injured in a coal mine fire in Tribuli in western Georgia on the 9th of June. One worker was hit by an explosion. The other six were burned on their hands and faces after methane gas was ignited. Some of the injured workers were taken to Tbilisi for medical treatment. The next day, on the 10th of June, workers of the Metallurgical and Mining Industry Workers Trade Union demonstrated outside the Tbilisi hospital to demand safer worker conditions and called for the labor inspection to be revived. Parliamentary data from Geostat National Statistics Office released on the 10th of June showed that there was $260 million of foreign direct investment in Georgia in the first quarter of 2014. This is 15% more than the first quarter of 2013. Georgia's top investment partners for the first quarter of 2014 were the Netherlands with 73 million dollars, which means normally that Russians and others who wish to conceal their identity use a Netherlands-based law firm to register shell companies. Number two is Azerbaijan with $47 million, which is undoubtedly mainly the state hydrocarbon company SOCAR, and the UK with $35 million. Turkey also probably lots of shell companies. Turkey with $30 million. Russia with $20 million. The highest amount of investments were in the finance sector, followed by manufacturing, transport, and communications. Aldagi, one of the leading insurance companies in Georgia, announced that it will split into two companies, one focused on health insurance, the other on auto and property insurance. According to the company, they decided to split in order to increase the effectiveness of each of these lines after observing the most effective practices of international insurance companies. They note that the shareholders will not change. The names of the new companies are not known yet. Aldagi is owned by Bank of Georgia. You know what? There's a story there. I mean, it's not because they saw that was the most effective international practice. I mean, I don't know, but I'm guessing there's something other than McDonald's, Georgia's expanding. Now branches will be opened in various districts of Tbilisi in the near future. According to Tim Archconia, owner of Coca-Cola and McDonald's in Georgia, he also plans to open a McDonald's restaurant in Zugdidi this year. In his words, McDonald's will invest 5 million euros in the construction of two fast food restaurants and will employ about 240 people. He plans to open 15 fast food restaurants in Tbilisi in the next year. The first McDonald's restaurant opened in Georgia in 1999. I remember it well. Shevard Nadze attended. Currently, the network has six branches, including four in Tbilisi, one in Kutaisi, one in Batumi. Karabashvili stated that the government will construct a strategically important road that will connect the villages of Roshka and Arkhoti in northern and southern Khevsudeti in order to revive Khevsudian villages and the whole of Khevsudeti. Construction will start next year. Patriarch Ilya II made an appeal during his visit along with Prime Minister Karabashvili to Khevsudeti on the 10th of June, asking businessmen to invest in material development in the region. He also addressed monks and suggested that the new monasteries be constructed on the border areas in order to strengthen Georgia's borders. Finance Minister Nodar Khaduri shared that according to available data, 5% economic growth planned by the government for 2014 is a very real prospect. According to Khaduri, 2.7 billion lari were mobilized into the budget in 2014, which is 130 million more than in the same period in 2016. Plan for tax revenue performed 101% from January through May 2014 and exceeded the planned figure by 27.9 million lari. Despite the fact that since April, 90 million lari were returned to 300,000 citizens in the form of non-taxable minimum income. Sadly, the Georgian Parliament was unable to find time to discuss the consumer protection law. The European Integration Committee, along with NGOs, completed the draft bill late last year. Parliament was supposed to approve it during the spring session. The consumer protection law was repealed in 2011. Human rights defenders commented that there are frequently problems in Georgia caused by the lack of a consumer protection law, and they're right. The draft law provides for the enactment of a consumer ombudsman institution, which will protect consumer rights in courts and on the basis of their complaints. In Kvitis Azrebi this week, writer and publisher Ziad Kvaratskhelia talked about Georgians' forgetful nature, and how Georgian society easily forgives and forgets the crimes of previous governments. Former members of parliament who are corrupting the country are slowly coming back into the public sphere, by which he means people from the Shevardnadze regime, which is true and sad, participating in social events and press conferences of newly established political parties. Soon they'll get their seats back. Kvaratskhelia said that it is very important to remind these members about their misdeeds in every possible way on every TV show so that they won't be able to return to positions of power and repeat old mistakes. The meme this week is some new Tbilisi street art circulating on Facebook showing famous pop icons queuing up to give police officers a urine sample for a drug test in protest of the country's strict drug policy. Among those waiting in line are Yoda from Star Wars, a minion from Despicable Me, a sailor and a nurse kissing the war goodbye on the streets of New York, and many interesting others. One of the police officers appears to be Chuck Norris. Things to read are a great new analysis of South Ossetia by the brilliant Stephen Jones of Mount Holyoke in Open Democracy, talking about East and versus West. There's only one of the many things going on here and sometimes prevents potential solutions from appearing if anybody cared enough to pursue them. Anyone interested in knowing what's going on in South Ossetia, please take a look. New collaboration between The Guardian and EurasianNet.org called the New East Network, which is quite interesting. See their project, Born After the USSR, featuring interviews with everyday 23-year-olds from the 15 ex-Soviet republics about their lives and how each country diverged after the Soviet breakup. For more details on political rivalries, mishaps, and democratic improvements, read NDI's interim report assessing the pre-election political environment before the June 15th election. TI is on the ball this week once again, by which I mean the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia. Read their investigation looking at the various assets of Batumi mayoral candidates, and also check out their report on the expenses of the Ajara Supreme Council for business trips, gifts, and receptions. An article by Cafe Babel Tbilisi, a little infographic help from NGO Jumpstart Georgia, takes a look at Tbilisi's mayoral candidates. And this is cool, an ethnographic exploration by Tara Isabella Burton for Al Jazeera English about the female Sufi mystics of Georgia's Pankizi Gorge. I mean, she talks mainly specifically about this and doesn't get into the broader international context too much. But everybody is very preoccupied by Salafists, as well they should be. But you heard it here first. Keep an eye on the Sufis. They shall be the redemption of Islam, as they have been in the past. All these things to read are posted on the forum. This week's geocapital number is 10%. That's the increase in the turnover for government, the Government Agency of Transport and Communication, equaling 150 million lari for January through April 2014, compared to the same period, 2013. Amirani Movie Theater, close to Philharmonia, has daily English movies this week until the 18th of June. You can watch Edge of Tomorrow at 7:30 and 10:30 p.m. For the month of May, Dom Kino across from Rustavelli McDonald's will be showing on the 13th, Bread and Roses, 14th, Sweet 16, 15th, The Wind That Shakes the Barley. If you have not seen The Wind That Shakes the Barley, it is fantastic. Go see it. It's about the Irish Revolution. It's on the 15th. I think those are at 7 o'clock. The next Works in Progress will be on the 18th of June at 6:15. Emily Knowles from the University of Edinburgh will present Stress Testing Territorial Conflict, Understanding Incentives and Barriers in the Georgian Resolution Process. The address is number 3 Kafsadze Street in Vake. Many of you are under the illusion that due to my many years in Tbilisi and the great respect I command throughout Georgian society, that I, Mark Mullen, actually know all of these things I am talking about. Actually, I just read them, and for 2 years, they have been faithfully prepared, mainly by Mitch Belkin, with help from Tako Tcheshelashvili. Mitch is moving on from Georgia. For those of you who know him, you'll miss him. But also those listeners who don't know him, you owe him a great debt, as do we all. So don't be shy about sending him an email of thanks to mitchbelkin@gmail.com. That's Mitch, M-I-T-C-H, Belkin, B-E-L-K-I-N, as in squirrel in Russian, @gmail.com. He's done a great job. We will all miss him as he moves on to other adventures in Indonesia. He's completely happy to have Georgia-connected friends or friends of friends connected with Georgia to stop by and stay with him for extended periods of time. But first, you have to send him an email thanking him for all his work on Tpilpod. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk. Our email is tpilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tpilpod.com. And we will finish with a 1992 hit by Nina Cherry, I Ain't Gone Under Yet.
Another voice from the street, and since it's my choice, I feel that I must speak. Now, I know that you won't listen to little me, but I can't rest unless I get this off my chest. See, the city's my home, the streets where I roam, but still I leave the drugs and the violence alone.
people who might say that I'm crazy and lazy for not breaking out, but the city has soul, and that's what I'm about. I have an appetite that must be choice. Yes, I know who I am, but sometimes it's so hard to get by. And tough circumstances make me want to get high, but I don't go too far, 'cause that ain't my style. So why don't you come live next to me for a while?